Good morning. We'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business is the letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana from the Advocate, the official journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 41528 through 41556 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. There were no letters of protest for today's sale, and no tracts will be recommended for withdrawal today, and we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We received one bid on tract 41528, advertised as 133 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Gemini Exploration, Inc. Gemini Exploration, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $34,580, $34,580, or a per acre value of $260. Annual rentals are $17,290, $17,290. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on track 41529. We did receive two bids on track 41530, advertised as 156 acres. The first bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Eagle Stone Energy Partners, LP. Eagle Stone Energy Partners, LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $734,916. $734,916, or a per acre value of $4,711. Annual rentals are $367,458. $367,458. Royalties are 24%. The second bid on track 41530 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $469,899.58. $469,899.58, or a per acre value of $3,018. Annual rentals are $234,949.79. $234,949.79. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 41531. We did receive one bid on track 41532, advertised as 35 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,750, $1,750, or a per acre value of $50. Annual rentals are $875. $875. Royalties are 3/16. We did not receive any bids on track 41533. We did receive one bid on track 41534, advertised as 60 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 9.8 acres. The bidder is Toss Energy, LLC. Toss Energy, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,949. $4,949, or a per acre value of $505. Annual rentals are $2,474.50. $2,474.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41535, advertised as 61 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 36 acres. The bidder is Gray LLC. Gray LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $18,000, $18,000, or a per acre value of $500. Annual rentals are $18,000, $18,000. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41536, advertised as 931 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 24 acres. The bidder is Davis Petroleum Corporation. Davis Petroleum Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,320. $7,320, or a per acre value of $305. Annual rentals are $7,320. $7,320. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 41537, advertises 99.77 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Renaissance Petroleum Company, LLC. Renaissance Petroleum Company, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $99,869.77. $99,869.77. Or a per acre value of $1,001. Annual rentals are $500.50. $500.50. Royalties are 25.5%. We received one bid on track 41538. Advertised as 461 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Swift Energy Operating, LLC. Swift Energy Operating, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $215,517.50. $215,517.50, or a per acre value of $467.50. Annual rentals are $107,758.75. $107,758.75. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41539, advertised as 24.57 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $185,184.09. $185,184.09, or a per acre value of $7,537. Annual rentals are $92,592.05. $92,592.05. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 41540. We did receive one bid on track 41541, advertised as 19.11 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $157,695.72. $157,695.72, or a per acre value of $8,252. Annual rentals are $78,847.86. $78,847.86. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41542, advertised as 85.06 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $701,915.12. $701,915.12, or a per acre value of $8,252. Annual rentals are $350,957.56. $350,957.56. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41543, advertised as 60.79 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $501,639.08. $501,639.08, or a per acre value of $8,252. Annual rentals are $250,819.54. $250,819.54. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41544, advertised as 17.48 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $144,244.96. $144,244.96, or a per acre value of $8,252. Annual rentals are $77,122.48. $72,122.48. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 415-45, advertised as 68.85 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $510,386.20. $510,386.20, or a per acre value of $8,252. Annual rentals are $255,193.10. $255,193.10. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41546, advertised as 30 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $357,790.80. $357,790.80, or a per acre value of $11,226.36. Annual rentals are $178,895.40. $178,895.40. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41546 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $226,410. $226,410. Or a per acre value of $7,547. Annual rentals are $113,205. $113,205. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41547, advertised as 11.6 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $138,345.78. $138,345.78. Or a per acre value of $11,926.36. Annual rentals are $69,172.89. $69,172.89. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41547 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $87,545.20. $87,545.20. Or a per acre value of $7,547. Annual rentals are $43,772.60. $43,772.60. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41548, advertised as 84.14 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $774,011.43. $774,011.43. Or a per acre value of $9,199.09. Annual rentals are $387,005.72. $387,005.72. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41548 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $635,004.58. $635,004.58. Or a per acre value of $7,547. Annual rentals are $317,502.29. $317,502.29. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41549, advertised as 321.5 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 18.077 net acres. 18.077 net acres. The bidder is Apple Energy Corp, Inc. Apple Energy Corp, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,615.40. $3,615.40. Or a per acre value of $200. And annual rentals are $1,807.70. $1,807.70. Royalties are 21.5%. We received one bid on track 41550, advertised as 0.749 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $237.47. $237.47. Or a per acre value of $317. Annual rentals are $118.74. $118.74. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on tract 41551, advertised as 1 acre. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $317. $317, or a per acre value of $317. Annual rentals are $158.50. $158.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on tract 41522, advertised as 3 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $951. $951, or a per acre value of $317. Annual rentals are $475.50. $475.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on tract 41553, advertised as 3 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $951. $951. Or a per acre value of $317. Annual rentals are $475.50. $475.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on tract 41554, advertised as 3 acres. The bidder is Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $951. $951. Or a per acre value of $317. Annual rentals are $475.50. $475.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on tract 41555, advertised as 1 acre. The bidder is Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. Duncan Oil Partners, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $317. $317, or a per acre value of $317. Annual rentals are $158.50. $158.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on tract 41556, advertised as 4.28 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 1.709 acres. The bidder is Energy 21 Onshore, LLC. Energy 21 Onshore, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,000. $1,000, or a per acre value of $585.14. Annual rentals are $500. $500. Royalties are 25%. As additional consideration, the attention of the board is respectfully requested to the fact that Energy 21 Onshore, LLC, is the present owner and holder of several oil, gas, and mineral leases adjacent to the lands described in this tract number 41556, and as such, Energy 21 Onshore LLC would be in the best position to develop the mineral interest of the state of Louisiana in tract number 41556. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
Please take your seats. We're going to get started. Okay. First committee lease review. Chairman for lease review.
Thank you. Lease review committee will now be called into session. I'm going to call roll call. Ms. Van Gell. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Diaz. Mr. Harper. Mr. Ingram. Mr. Martin.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Here.
Ms. Smith.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Mr. Dugas. Dugas, would you please present the agenda?
All right, thank you. Okay, according to Sunrise, there are 1,777 active state leases covering approximately 840,000 acres. The G&E division has reviewed 145 of these, covering nearly 89,733. That was a misprint in our original copy to y'all. We have several leases to discuss in detail. Today, the first one will be State Lease 195C, Quarantine Bayfield. Cox Operating is the operator. The committee last reviewed this lease on January 13, 2010. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Cox until June 9, 2010 to submit a plan of development for non-productive acreage, specifically the drilling of a new well or the sidetracking of an existing well. By letter of June 8, 2010, Cox reported that they had identified a deep seismic prospect on the northern portion of State Lease 195. The prospect was shown at the winter nape and will be shown again at summer nape in August. A second prospect is being generated elsewhere on the lease. Staff recommends that Cox be granted until September the 8th, 2010, to meet with the staff to present a specific plan of development, including the drilling of a well on or affecting the non-productive state lease acreage, a timetable for carrying this plan out, or a plan for a release of the non-productive acreage.
Thank you.
In addition, Cox Operating is to report on all shut-in wells on the lease, their present status, indicate whether future or no utility, if future utility, specify a reason for that designation, and provide a schedule for the plugging and abandonment of those wells determined to be of no future utility. That was a mouthful, which will be the same recommendation for the following four leases. I won't go all through that again. It's verbatim. These leases, 2220, 2221, 4039, and 4147, El Wabe, Half Moon Lake, Cox Operating is also the operator here. These leases were last reviewed January 13, 2010. Board adopted committee's recommendation to grant Cox until June 9th to submit a plan for the non-productive acreage. In that letter of June 8th, all they could report on these four leases was that two wells had been returned to production. No actual plans of drilling any new wells or sidetracking any existing wells. So the recommendation I just read to you for 195 applies to this, if that's okay, or would you like me to read it again? Are we good? Okay. State Lease 199A1, Basin Lane Field, Burlington Resources Oil and Gas is the lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on January 13, 2010. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept the proposed partial release of approximately 440 acres and to grant Burlington until June 9, 2010 to submit a status report on its activities and future plans for this designated area. Burlington met with the staff on June 3, 2010 to discuss several matters, one being the status of this designated area. Burlington informed the staff that they were selling all of their producing properties in southeast Louisiana's coastal waters, which this lease is located. They expect to have a sale agreement by August. They will retain depths below productive horizons. They did submit a 495-acre partial release, which is in process of being finalized by the staff. So the staff recommends that Burlington submit a report on the status of this sale by October 11, 2010.
Greg, did they?
Yes.
Up here. did they say why they're selling all their wells? Or?
I wasn't at that meeting. Jason, he says gas prices. They had very little oil production down here. They had some, but maybe just the whole state of affairs, who knows. And I can't remember, or am I supposed to say who I think they are, but I'll just keep quiet for right now, who's buying it. State Lease 724, Four Isle Dome Field, Burlington, Oil and Gas. Same situation here. This is in their package to sell, so they did provide us with a partial release, and that was received June 17th and is being processed. So staff recommends same thing. Burlington submit a report on the status of the sale by October 13, 2010. Okay, State Lease 173 Caddo Pine Island Field, Rockwell Petroleum and Gemini Explorations Incorporated are the lessees. The committee last reviewed this lease on December the 9th, 2009. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant our lessees until June 9th, 2010 to submit a plan of development for non-productive acreage on this lease or to release 280 acres. By letter of June 2nd, 2010, Rockwell and Gemini submitted a plan to drill a horizontal well in the Nona Chalk in the fourth quarter of 2010. If the well is successful, Rockwell plans to drill 25 more horizontal wells over the next 2 to 5 years. They are requesting that this well satisfy the well obligations up until December 31st, 2012. In other words, for 5 6-month periods. They feel this request is justified by the cost of drilling a horizontal well and the production increase and drainage area that two vertical wells would provide. If the well cannot be drilled by December 31st, 2010 for any reason, Gemini will plug 6 wells prior to December 31st, 2010. We thought a lot about their request and discussed it, and our recommendation, the staff recommends that Rockwell and Gemini's work plan not be approved, and that Rockwell and Gemini be granted until September the 8th, 2010 to meet with the staff to discuss their plans for the development of the non-productive state lease acreage on State Lease 173. A timetable for carrying out this plan or a plan for release of the non-productive state lease acreage is to be discussed. In addition, Rockwell and Gemini are to report on all active wells on the lease. Their present status indicate whether future or no utility. If future utility, specify a reason for that designation and provide a schedule for the plugging and abandonment of those wells determined to be of no future utility. Any questions? Okay. Excuse me. State Lease 199B2, Lake Byray Field Selection, Hillcorp Energies Lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on December the 9th, 2009. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Hillcorp until June 9, 2010 to submit a status report on their activities on or affecting this designated area. By letter of May 26, 2010, Hillcorp reported that they have ceased marketing the 16,500-foot test on a northwest portion of designated Area 2. No other plans were submitted affecting this designated area. Staff recommends that Hillcorp commit to a well. I think you had a map in your package. This designated area is broken up into two pieces, one on a northwest portion of the field and one on a northeast. The 16-5 test was on the northwest, so the staff is going to recommend that Hillcorp commit to a well on or affecting the northeast portion of this designated area by October the 13th, 2010, or release all of the non-productive acreage on this portion of designated area 2. State Lease 301A1, Caillou Island Field, Hillcorp Energies, Lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on December 9, 2009. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Hillcorp until June 9, 2010. To submit a plan of development specific to this designated area. By letter of June 4, 2010, Hillcorp is proposing to release approximately 400 acres of this designated area. The staff recommend accepting this proposed partial release and to remove this lease from board review to be put on staff review. State Leases 3306 and 4011, Redfish Point Field, Hillcorp Energy here is also the lessee. The committee last reviewed these leases on April 14, 2010. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to request Hillcorp to meet with the staff no later than June 9, 2010 to discuss a specific plan of development for the non-productive acreage on these leases. Hillcorp met with the staff on June 8, 2010. Plans of development were presented to the staff. They requested that their plans be held confidential. They have also offered a partial release of approximately 413 acres on State Lease 4011. Staff recommends accepting their plans and the proposed partial release in the Grand Hillcorp until October 13, 2010. To report on the status of the plans presented in a meeting with staff. State Lease 328A, Bay Baptiste Field, Hillcorp Energy. The committee last reviewed this lease on December 9th of 09. The board granted Hillcorp on June 9th of 10 to restore production on this lease or to commit to the drilling of a new well on or affecting this lease. If neither of these criteria are met, then Hillcorp is to release State Lease 328A in its entirety. If Hillcorp commits to the drilling of a new well, the well must be spud on or before December the 9th, 2010. If the well is not spud by then, Hillcorp is to release State Lease 328A in its entirety. We did not hear from Hillcorp at that time by June the 9th. The district geologist made contact with them. There was discussions of releasing acreage, and it's been a little bit of confusing as to what they were proposing to release to us. So staff is recommending that the review of this lease be deferred 30 days or until the August meeting until we can get with Hillcorp and find out what they want to do, and we'll decide what we'd like to recommend then. That's it for the leases.
Thank you, Mr. Dugas. At this time, is there any public comments or questions? Are there any questions or comments from the board?
I move for approval of the staff's recommendation.
Sanders, second.
Motion from Mr. Segura, second from Mr. Sanders. Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. Mr. Diaz, motion. Second from Ms. Smith. The Lease Review Committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee meeting. At this time, we'll call the roll. Scott Angel, Paul Segura.
Here.
Tom Arnold.
Present.
Juba Diaz.
Here.
Bob Harper. Bay Ingram. Mike Morton. Tom Sanders.
Present.
Daryl Smith.
Here.
Helen Smith.
Good morning, Ms. Cordero, lady and gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 29 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. There's a correction on the nominations we received. Initially reported 40, we received 44 nominations in our office for the September 8, 2010 lease sale, which is a pending approval by the board for advertising. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at this office for the September 8, 2010 lease sale.
Okay, is there any public comment at this time? If not, I need a motion and second to accept the staff's recommendation.
I move.
Motion by Mr. Segura.
Sanders, second.
Second by Mr. Sanders. Motion is approved. Go ahead.
The final item on the agenda deals with readoption of non-exclusive seismic permit fees. You have before you in your package an explanation of determining non-exclusive seismic permit fees by staff geologist Byron Miller. As stated in revised statute 3215, such fees shall be determined by the state mineral board at least every 12 months or more often as necessary. Based on the information provided to you, the staff recommends that the State Mineral and Energy Board, hereinafter referred to as Board, readopt and set a fee of $15 per acre or $1,000, whichever is greater, for non-exclusive seismic permits on lands under the jurisdiction of the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, that the Board readopt and set a fee of $10 per acre or $1,000, whichever is greater, for non-exclusive seismic permits on all other state lands and water bottoms belonging to the state, that the board readopt a fee of $200 per line mile or $1,000, whichever is greater, for 2D seismic permits on lands and water bottoms belonging to the state.
Okay, is there any public comment on this item at this time? Any questions of the board? Motion to adopt by Mr. Arnold.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sanders. That's it? Okay. Now I need a motion and a second to adjourn the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee. Motion by Mr. Arnold.
Second.
Second by Ms. Smith. The committee is adjourned.
I'll go ahead and call the Audit Committee. Meeting to order. You take a roll call. Mr. Angel. Mrs. Segura. Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Diaz?
Here.
Mr. Harper? Mr. Ingram? Mr. Morton?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Smith. We have a quorum. Rachel, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. The first item on the agenda is a penalty waiver request from IG Petroleum LLC for a penalty in the amount of $51,569 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit began on November 28, 2005 for the period of October 2001 through August 2005. Total royalty collected for the audit period was $633,112. This was the second audit of IG Petroleum. They were very cooperative with the accommodations and scheduling. They provided very timely responses to questions or requests for records and have implemented corrective measures. In June 2010, IG Petroleum submitted the final payment on a July 2008 board-approved payment plan. IG paid the state a total of $154,409 in royalty exceptions and $81,961.96 in interest charges. Staff is recommending a 75% waiver of $38,676.75, with a balance due of $12,892.25.
Is there any public comment? Any questions from the board?
I have a question, please, Rachel.
Yes, sir.
I missed the last couple of months. Is there an explanation? I've got it. Thank you. Is there an explanation as to why we're dealing with a period of October 2001 through August of 2005?
It was just the audit period we pick up from the previous audit period. So their previous audit period ended in September 2001. So we picked up from October 2001 to August 2005 because that was the most recent available information.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have a motion to accept staff's recommendation? Moved by Mrs. Segura, second by Mrs. Smith. Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Item 2.
The second item is a penalty waiver request from Tensaw Delta Exploration Company, LLC, for a penalty in the amount of $10,321.18 for late payment of royalty. On April 5th, 2010, Tensaw Delta paid the state a total of $23,736.49 in late royalty for November 1991 through December 2007. This payment was not related to a field audit. Tensaw Delta has been paying its percentage of royalty based on a division order. Tensaw Delta should have been paying a higher percentage of royalty based on a unitization agreement. Tensaw Delta identified this error and promptly remitted royalty payments to correct the difference. Tensaw Delta was billed and paid $18,815.62 in interest. Based on cause, staff is recommending a 100% penalty waiver. The amount of the reduction would be $10,321.18 with no balance due the state.
Is there any public comment concerning this item? Can I have a motion to accept board's staff's recommendation? Move by Mrs. Smith.
Sanders, second.
Second by Mrs. Sanders. Any further comments or questions from the board or committee? Anyone opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Item 3, please.
Item number 3 is a penalty waiver request from Energy 21 GOM LLC for a penalty in the amount of $36,995.66 for the late payment of royalty. On March 25, 2010, Energy 21 paid the state a total of $131,651.81 in late royalties for the disposition dates of December 2006 through January 2010. Royalty was outstanding less than 4 years and was not related to a field audit. Energy 21 was late because there was some confusion on their part as to whether certain properties were considered state or federal. Energy 21 determined the royalty should be paid to the state. Energy 21 was billed and paid $25,967.91 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, staff is recommending a 50% penalty waiver because royalty was outstanding less than 4 years. The amount of the reduction would be $18,497.83, with a balance due the state of $18,497.83.
Is there any public comment concerning this item?
Sanders, I have a question, please, Ms. Rachel.
Mrs. Yes, Sanders, sir. Should I get a motion first?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So Sanders, do that first. Get a motion to approve staff's recommendation. Move by Mr. Segura, second by Mrs. Smith. Any further comments or questions? Mr. Sanders, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm sorry I jumped ahead.
No problem.
I got a motion, sir. Rachel, I'm always on a learning curve. This the fact that this royalty was outstanding less than 4 years, that obviously is based on some protocol that we have written in form here.
Yes, sir.
When was the last time that this board revisited that issue of 4 years? In other words, we give them a break because it's less than 4 years. 4 years is a long time, in my judgment, in the business world.
Correct. We do give it consideration, but standard is 75% waiver if it's outstanding less than 3 years. And then from 6 to 3 years would be a 50% waiver. It was adopted, a resolution was adopted in 2007.
2007?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that was before my time. How often is there a set time that we review these items? And I recognize that you are new to this position last year, but you were here before.
We can get you a copy of it. We usually have in the back of the...
I have them right here. Just a point of clarification. I think that was originally adopted in 95, then reconfirmed in 2007. Okay. We'll be happy to distribute those out to you, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you. Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
And if we need to, we can put an agenda for next meeting to revisit, if you'd like to.
Yeah, we can absolutely include that on the agenda. If you would, would the board like to revisit that that policy?
I would.
Okay, we'll put it on the agenda.
Sanders would. Thank you.
Any further comments or questions concerning item 3? Hearing none. Anyone opposed? Hearing no one opposed. It passes. Next item, please.
Item number 4 is a request for the State Mineral and Energy Board to adopt a resolution to allow the Office of Mineral Resources to reject any and all adjustments based on calculation or related errors when those adjustments predate the most recent closed audit period or in the absence of a date for the most recent closed audit period, the acceptable period defaults to the most recent audit start date.
Do you have any comments or questions? I think the staff has some further explanations, are we good?
Sure.
Be public comment, I guess you'd be part of public as well.
Board members, my name's Jackson Logan. I'm with the Attorney General's office. Part of the history of this is there's some ambiguity in what the prescriptive period is on when companies come and request deductions. Understand a lot of these deductions are being made outside of their audit period. So when looking at this and looking at the prescriptive period, we believe that the applicable prescriptive period is Civil Code Article 3494, Subsection 5. That article reads, the following actions are subject to a liberative prescriptive period of 3 years. Subsection 5 says, an action to recover underpayments or overpayments of royalties from the production of minerals, provided that nothing herein applies to any payments, rents, royalties derived from state-owned properties. Now, I think it's pretty clear that the first clause speaks to parties when... speaks to when it's a private lessor and a private lessee. The second clause, I believe, in my opinion, discusses when the state is the lessor. In other words, the second clause inures to the benefit of the state. In my opinion, it doesn't necessarily inure to the benefit of the lessee. Therefore, you know, because this clause in this prescriptive period is open to a certain amount of interpretation, what we're asking the Mineral Board today is to kind of meet in the middle. We want our royalty payers, we want to get square with our royalty payers, and we want to encourage fairness. And we think that the resolution we're adopting shows good faith on the state's part to meet in the middle on this issue. understand a lot of companies were requesting deductions going back 15, 20 years, and we just felt that that was somewhat inappropriate, whereas the law, we believe, can be interpreted to restrict that to 3 years. So again, this resolution is to meet in the middle.
Right. So, Ms. Lubuant, the short story with this is the legal parameters are the prescription does not run against the state. State can go back in these audit periods theoretically from the beginning of time. Okay. We believe there is a legal requirement, a legal prescriptive period that is applicable to private parties. They essentially can go back 3 years. Out of fundamental fairness, where we go back and conduct these audits, we would allow and have a line, and with regard to one of the items that was previously approved, would allow credits against those items, those sums that we are determining that they owe us during that audit period. However, we would not allow them to go back past that audit period. So if the audit period was from 2000 to 2003, we would not allow offsets from, say, 1995. Okay, so that's what this resolution would memorialize, that policy, and that's the policy that Office of Mental Resources is recommending to the board.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any public comment? We have a motion from the board to adopt. Move by Mr. Segura, second by Mrs. Second by Mrs. Sanders. Any further comments or questions?
Sanders, question, please. Just give me a moment. I have had something in my mind, and it went away. I apologize. I think this is an appropriate approach for the following reason. Business records and the keeping of business records 10, 15 years is not a realistic anticipation. IRS, I think it's 7. I'm not sure about that. Business records are different for lawyers. But there ought to be a closure. And the onus is on the royalty payer, in my judgment. Whoever owes this state money, it's their obligation to properly calculate it and timely pay it. And to drag in as an offset something 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is not fair. It wouldn't work fair for us if we wanted to go back, because when we close an audit period, that audit period is closed, I would assume, except for fraud.
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ms. Smith, you had a question?
I do. At this point, without the adoption of this resolution, how would a situation be handled? Would that be handled by staff, or would those come to the mineral board as an exception to be approved?
In the past, it's been handled by staff.
What is taking place right now, staff is implementing this policy. Staff is coming to the mineral board and advising the mineral board that this is how they are approaching this issue, and wanting to make sure that you all buy into this approach and make it an official policy of the board.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, a motion carries. Item 5.
Item 5 is the staff report to the committee that the election for July 2010 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery plant at LaRose and the C. Robin plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. And that concludes the audit agenda.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel.
I'd like to adjourn. Motion, please. We want Mrs. Segura to adjourn. Second by Mrs. Diaz. Anyone opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Peck.
Morning, sir. Ladies and gentlemen.
Big pieces of paper you have rolled up there this morning.
There are more big pieces in the back.
I'd like to call the Legal and Title Controversy Committee to order. We're now required to do the roll call before each of these committees. Ms. Danjow? Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Diaz? Mr. Harper? Mr. Ingram? Mr. Morton?
Here.
Sanders is present. Mr. Smith? Ms. Smith?
Mr. Smith here also.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Okay.
Tech, recognize you, sir.
Proceed. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go ahead and ask the board to consider the first four items together because all of those four items are amendments to various leases to include the new force majeure clause as well as the four paragraphs or clauses that this board has required in the past be any time a lease is amended that they be added. On the actual legal and title agenda, on the first item, I left out the fact that the four additional clauses were in the amendment, but they are in the amendment, and so all these items are on the docket right now as items 10-28, 10-30, 10-33, and 10-34. And the staff does recommend final approval of those lease amendments, adding the new force majeure clause and the four paragraphs required by the board.
The board like to deal with these one by one. I'll accept the motion. Is there any public comment? Items 1-4. Chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Arnold? Mr. Arnold moves.
Second.
Mr. Diaz. I'm sorry, Ms. Smith.
It's okay.
Diaz. Seconds. Any discussion? Any opposition? Motion carries.
Okay.
Item 5, please, sir.
Item 5 is a request by the staff to rescind State Lease 20342, which was awarded to Energy 21 Onshore LLC on May 12, 2010 lease sale. The staff, after much discussion with the land office as well as representatives from Energy 21 Onshore, has determined that the state land office does not lay claim to the water body that made up this lease, which was Bayou Shupik. And so the staff is recommending, since this is not a water body that the state claims, and it is the only water body in that lease be rescinded.
By the way, there's a letter in your packet from State Lands that outlines that.
I believe it's appropriate to entertain the motion, get the motion before we ask for public comment. Chair will entertain a motion. Thank you, Mr. Segura.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the second. Is there any discussion by the board? Is there any discussion by the public? Is there any opposition? Motion carries.
Item number 6 is a request by the staff to rescind State Lease 19662 awarded to Will Drill Resources, as that lease contains no claimable water bottoms. What happened here is back in 1926, the Supreme Court in Bodcaw versus Kendall adjudicated the fact that the water bottom above the town of Minden was non-navigable. And so it did not belong to the state, it belonged to the riparian landowners, the water bottoms. Nevertheless, the land office had that particular water body on its claim water bottoms layer, and a lease was given on it. But now the riparian landowners, or some of the riparian landowners, are notifying that of the Supreme Court decision. And so the state land office is taking that water bottom off of its water bottom layer. That being the case, and because this is not a giant producing lease, the state is asking that lease be rescinded. The lessee has been contacted and is okay with that.
What's the pleasure of the board? Mr. Segura moves that we accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Mr.
Mr. Arnold seconds. Is there any discussion? The board discussion. Any discussion by the public? Is there any opposition to the motion? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries, Mr. Heck.
Okay. Item number 7 is a request by ExxonMobil Corporation for a one-year extension of the primary term of State Lease 18737 and 18738, located in Grand Isle Block 16, Plaquemine Parish, for a consideration of the payment of a full bonus for each lease. In the past, it has been the policy of the board and the staff has recommended that an extension of 1 year to any lease be given only for a full bonus payment with the addition of an increase in royalty by 0.5%. That is the staff recommendation in this case, that it be for a full bonus with a raise of 0.5% for the royalty of each lease. There are representatives from ExxonMobil Corporation here who would like to speak to the board, who have asked to speak to the board to either offer additional consideration or to show the extenuating circumstances why the board should accept this offer.
We welcome Exxon representatives, ExxonMobil representatives. Would you take your seat, please, and move the mic around and state your name for the record, please. It's good to have you here this morning. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Jim Bates. I'm outside counsel for ExxonMobil Corporation.
Thank you, Mr. Bates.
My name is Don Adams. I'm a landman for ExxonMobil.
Thank you, Mr. Adams.
My name is Kevin Krennick. I'm a geoscientist with ExxonMobil.
Thank you, Mr. Krennick.
If I can begin,
sure.
Just to explain the unusual nature of our request on behalf of ExxonMobil, this is a little bit different situation, I believe, from most of the extension requests that the board has considered in the past. In the first place, of course, we're dealing with the Grand Isle area, and everybody is aware of the situation out there with the BP incident. Additionally, the big difference here is that earlier this year, ExxonMobil on these two leases, a voluntary unit comprised mainly of these two leases, spent in excess of $20 million drilling a well. For technical reasons that are long and boring, and I'm, you know, not conversant enough to discuss with you, the well had to be abandoned. And the scientists at ExxonMobil are in the process of trying to understand what happened with the well, and in that the well basically told them different information than the other subsurface and geophysical information in the area had led them to believe. They are still interested in the area. They essentially want to redrill the well that was lost, but until they understand the subsurface and why what happened, they're really not in a position to do so, certainly not by the end of the primary term of these two leases, which expire in September. We realize in the past the 0.5% royalty increase has been done by the board as a matter of policy. Our belief is that, you know, the amount of funds that have been expended to develop this state acreage, you know, hopefully entitle us to a little credit. Additionally, I think the board, at least Secretary Angel, has, I think, been pretty public about his desire to incentivize production in the South Louisiana area. particularly for deeper wells. This was a well that was drilled to around 17,000 feet in a pressured environment. So for those reasons, we believe it's appropriate to request from the board that we be given some consideration, and that the half percent royalty increase that is normally present in these types of situations not be imposed on ExxonMobil in this situation. Certainly, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to entertain them.
Go ahead.
I had just one question, if I may, please. So you're just getting it out clearly. Y'all are willing to pay the bonus to extend it.
Correct.
But just asking us to give you some mercy and not insist on a point half percent.
On the royalty increase, correct.
Is that it, sir?
Go ahead, sir.
Chair recognized, Mr. Gurr.
Okay, what is the royalty percentage?
I knew you were going to ask.
The current royalty percentage, 21%.
Okay. Does a half a percent make that much difference if you're only paying it on the back end? I mean, I know you spent $20 million on the well to get it to where you are now, but the royalty doesn't affect you unless you hit the oil or the gas, whatever it is.
Well, yes, that's correct. And the problem is, everything goes into the economics, and an extra half percent burden on the lease, will that tip the scales, between drilling and not drilling? I don't know. We would have to ExxonMobil would have to, do the math on it and decide.
And it's one lease?
It's two leases.
Two leases.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Mr. Arnold?
Is additional 12 months going to be enough to get this done? Is 12 months enough to get the drill done?
Well, we certainly hope so. What will happen in the next 12 months, who knows, between prices and the situation out there now, we're willing to, certainly, we're going to know one way or the other within 12 months whether to proceed or not.
Mr. Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Just as a point of information, this request, I believe, was made last week. Is that right, Mr. Heck?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. So, certainly one option could be, if you all are interested, we can evaluate this and give you a more thorough recommendation if if that is an option the board would like to consider. But it's the board's pleasure. We haven't had an opportunity. Obviously, this item was not on the and was not discussed during the agenda meeting that we had last week that you attended by telephone conference. So I know you, as all the board members, are hearing this for the first time. Staff has not had the opportunity to vet this issue thoroughly with regard to deviating from a standard recommendation from board policy. So the pleasure of the board.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Smith?
Would it be appropriate for us to consider the situation in the Gulf with BP and all of that as a factor that I think could give us a reason to approve them not paying the royalty at this point? And I'd like to know whether that situation doesn't appear to have been what caused the issue with the well, even though you were very unclear as to what that issue was. But it doesn't appear that it was the BP spill that impacted the initial drill.
No, ma'am. The incident with BP was a considerable distance away and did not directly impact this well at all.
It will impact going forward, I'm sure.
This well is in the Grand Isle field. Exxon has substantial facilities in Grand Isle. I think everybody is aware as to all the activity, all of which is essentially centered on Grand Isle, which is sort of a staging area for everything that's going on out in the Gulf. And so I think certainly that is going to have an impact on ExxonMobil's operations in the coming months.
Mr. Arnold?
I'll feel more comfortable having the staff look at this a little bit further, deeper, and bring it back up next month. Do I need a motion to do that? Or
do we have a motion to defer this matter until next month?
I will do that, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Arnold makes a motion to defer it. Mr. Ingram and Mr. Smith second the motion simultaneously. Is there any discussion of the motion? Public comment? Any objection to the motion for deference? We'll defer this matter. Mr. Heck and Mobil Exxon representatives, I'm sorry to put you off. Do we have an objection? Motion carries. We're going to defer it for 30 months. 3 months. 30 days. I'll get it out in a minute. I'm kind of rusty. I took 2 months off. That's what happens when you're lazy.
Mr. Sanders, did you offer this for public comment first?
No, I did not. Is there some public comment about us deferring this matter for 30 days? Hearing none, we would welcome you to return.
Certainly.
Because we're starting anew. We're going to discuss this with staff.
Certainly.
Glad you came here today, and thank you for your appearance and your information.
Thank you for your consideration.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day, sir.
Okay, all items from 8 to 12 are in executive, or requesting to be in executive session. I would ask also that if we go in executive session, that each member bring their books which contain plats that are going to be relevant to some of these issues.
Thank you, sir.
Recessed.
We'll be recessed in executive session.
I move to go to executive session.
Second. Thank you. Is there any second?
Second.
Thank you. Second. We're in executive session.
All right, at this time I'd like to call the mineral board meeting to order. Lou, would you give us a roll call, please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Scott Mogel. Mr. Paul Segura?
Here.
Mr. Tom Arnold? Mr. Emil Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Juba Diaz? Mr. Bob Harper? Mr. Bay Ingram? Mr. Michael Morton?
Here.
Mr. Tom Sanders?
Here.
Mr. Darrell Smith?
Here.
Ms. Helen Smith?
Here.
Very good. You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to deal with the approval of the June 9th, 2010 minutes, but before that I'd like to ask if there's any public comment concerning those minutes of the June 9th, 2010 meeting. If not, I'd like to entertain a motion for approval of those minutes.
I make a motion to approve.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Morton. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Would for the record now indicate that Mr. Bob Harper here, Secretary Harper, is here. Thank you.
Great. Welcome, Mr. Secretary. At this time, since we still have some issues and we have not closed out the legal and title controversy committee meeting, I would like to entertain a motion to approve the adopt the committee recommendations of the lease review committee, the nomination and track committee, and the audit committee. But before that, do we have any public comments concerning any of those committee hearings or decisions? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the recommendations of the item 4A through C, which is the lease review committee, nomination track committee, and the audit committee.
Sanders move.
We have a motion by Mr.
Smith,
Sanders
second.
For approval, and a second by Ms. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries, and those three committees' items are approved. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to recess so that we can go back into the legal and recess the board meeting so we can go back in the legal and title controversy committee.
Move.
We have a motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr.
Martin.
Arnold. All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. We're in recess. We'll be back shortly.
Okay, Jerry.
chair will entertain a motion in the legal and title controversy committee.
I make a motion that we reopen and go to the executive session.
Second?
Second.
Mr. Arnold, Mrs. Segura, second. The opposition, we're going to...
Nope.
Committee meeting. Executive session. Y'all gonna wear us out here today. Let's drag it to the ground. What is this? What is the new law?
Oh, absolutely. Always.
Okay, and you make me a new thing back in.
Have a motion to reconvene the committee?
Move.
Second.
Who did it?
Reconvene. Any opposition? Reconvene.
Nope.
Mr. Heck?
Okay, on item number 8, the staff recommends that the proposed settlement by the landowners be rejected and that the staff be given the authority to negotiate a compromise and settlement on the unit production involving state leases 192, 19250, and 19550.
Heard the staff recommendation. What's the pleasure of the board?
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Segura moves.
Second.
Arnold seconds. Any discussion by the board? Any public discussion? Any opposition? Motion carries.
On item number 9, the staff recommends that the offer of settlement by the KK Westervelt Group be rejected and the staff be given authority to negotiate a compromise and settlement in that issue involving a portion of Lake Hackberry in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana.
Pleasure of the board.
I move to accept staff recommendation.
Yes, move to accept. I have a second from Mr. D. Smith. Any discussion of the board? Any public discussion? Any opposition to the motion? Motion carries.
On item number 10, the staff recommends that the proposed settlement offer by the landowners in the lawsuit entitled McMoran versus DC Junior Partnership be rejected and the staff be given authority to negotiate a compromise and settlement in that case as well.
Chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Diaz moves. Mr. Smith seconds. Any board discussion? Public discussion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries.
Okay, on item number 11, the staff recommends that it be given the authority to represent the state's claim on a lease held by Axis Onshore LP in the bankruptcy entitled In Re Tri-Dimension Energy LP et al., and that the the staff be given authority to make its claim in the court of bankruptcy.
Chair will entertain a motion.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Segura moves. Mr. Arnold second. Any discussion by the board? Any public comment? Any objection to the motion? Passed.
Item number 12, the staff recommends the compromise that was discussed, the various percentages and terms of the compromise discussed in executive session, compromise be approved in principle with the caveats and with the alternative percentages depending on the answer to the caveat, compromise be approved in principle pending a finalization of the document itself, signatures, execution, and advertisement.
I move that we accept the recommendation.
Second. Mr. Segura, second. Is there any board discussion on this motion? Any public comment on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carried, Mr. Heck.
I think that's the last item on
Thank you.
Legal and title.
And a motion to adjourn the committee?
Move.
Committee adjourned. Thank you, Mr. Heck.
Thank you. Somewhere interesting.
I'd like to call the roll. Well, I'd like to call the roll of the State Mineral Board, Energy Board. Scott Angel. Paul Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Harper.
Here.
Mr. Ingram. I use that term sort of late. I'll back off of that, Mr. Mr. Martin. Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Darrell Smith. Helen Smith. We have a quorum. We have a quorum, State Mineral Board. I'd like to call the docket committee review to order. Staff, please present its recommendations to the committee.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the July 14, 2010 docket review committee and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve item number one. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve item number one through item number 50. For Category C, advertised proposals, please approve subject to the receipt of signature pages of the Commissioner of the General Land Office on behalf of the School Land Board and the State of Texas at their August meeting. Please approve items 2 through 9. And that concludes the staff's recommendation to the DACA Review Committee.
Sanders. Sanders moves.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. The committee is adjourned.
No objection.
No problem. We'll just repeat all that now. Would you?
just pencil all that in.
All right. This time I'd like to entertain a motion to reconvene the regular board meeting.
Move.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? We are reconvened. At this time, I'd like to take adoption of the committee recommendations, item 4D, the Legal and Title Controversy Committee, and item E, 4E, the Docket Review Committee. Before that, is there any public comments concerning those two committee recommendations? If not, we have a motion for approval of those two items by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. This time, I'd like to entertain a motion for item 5 to go into executive session for our technical briefing to review the bids.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor?
Thank you.
All opposed? That motion carries. We'll be in technical briefing for just a moment, and we'll return shortly. Thank you. Right, this time I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session.
Move.
Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor? All opposed? We are back in regular session. Mr. Vaughn?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Tract number 41530, we're recommending to accept a bid of Eagle Stone Energy Partners LP. On tract number 41546, we're recommending to accept a bid of QEP Energy Company, subject to QEP being registered with this office by the close of business tomorrow afternoon. On tract number 41547, we're recommending to accept the bid of QEP Energy Company, also with subject to QEP registering with the Office of Mineral Resources by the close of business tomorrow afternoon. And 41548, we're recommending to accept the bid of QEP Energy Company, subject to QEP registering with this office, Office of Mineral Resources, by the close of business tomorrow afternoon. All of the remaining tracts receiving bids, we're recommending that those bids be accepted.
I move that we accept.
Thank you. One second.
Need a motion?
Rick, can you come see for a second?
Rick.
All right, thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Do we have any public comment concerning any of those bids? If not, do we have any questions or discussion from the board on any of these bids? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion for acceptance as
Move.
Recommended by staff.
Move.
Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Ms. Smith. Any further questions or discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. We've awarded the leases. Because of time concerns, we'll give an update on the oil spill at a future date. What we'd like to go to is item 8, the overview of some new legislation affecting the board.
Members, you have in your packet, you have a review of some legislation. Mr. Heck is going to provide an overview of legislation during this past session.
Okay. Again, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm going to do is give a brief overview of the particular bill and what it engendered as far as actions that are going to be taken. First one is was Senate Bill 184, which is now Act 773. What it did was, at present, when the state enters into litigation and money is, let's the state wins the case and there's a money judgment, that money goes into the general fund. And if money is used, which it usually is, out of the audit fund that the Office of Mineral Resource or Department of Natural Resources has, that money is not necessarily replaced. Again, it goes to the general fund. What this new law does is it allows, from the money recovered in litigation or compromise, it allows recovery off the top of attorney's fees and court and costs such as expert witnesses and court costs, which would be re-deposited into the audit fund. The Mineral and Energy Operating Fund, that's the name of the fund, I'm sorry. So it allows whatever money is drawn out of that fund to be used to accomplish a compromise or in litigation. It would be replaced in that fund off of the top of any money recovered. The rest then would go into the general fund. What's being done now, because that now is law, is the staff is working on a memorandum of understanding with the Attorney General's office to quantify attorney's fees so that they can be replaced, as well as what the costs are. So that is, on that particular legislation, that's good for us. It allows us to recover costs that we weren't allowed to recover before. Any questions on that?
Kind of fair, isn't it?
Excuse me?
It's kind of fair, isn't it?
That's what we thought. That's why we did it. Okay, next item.
Yeah. Well, and we want to thank Senator Gautreaux. Nick Gautreaux had this bill for us.
Him. Yeah.
And we absolutely want to thank him for him carrying that bill for us.
And next item is two bills that we were following, House Bill 841 and Senate Bill 183, which are now Acts 930 and Act 875. Together, what it does is it gives the Mineral and Energy Board authority to lease for alternative energy sources such as wind energy and hydrokinetic, geothermal, and those kinds. Excuse me. And it also authorizes the collection of 10% over and above the bonus paid for those leases as a fee, the same as mineral leases are at this time. The staff, according to the bill, though, is tasked with, in conjunction with DOTD, is promulgating rules and regulations to operate in giving these leases and how to administer them after that, which we are doing at the present time. We have a staff person who is our point man in this to be work with DOTD to get these rules and regulations. Under this particular law is when you give, the board gives a hydrokinetic lease, you are required to notify if it impinges upon an area that a port authority or a terminal authority or a harbor district has their authority, then you are required to notify those bodies, and they have a say-so as to whether or not you can give a hydrokinetic lease in that area. If they deny it, if they veto the authority to do that, then it comes under the regular administrative procedure hearings, which if that is not satisfactory, it goes to the district court for an appeal. So all of this is under the new law, but also one of the things that another thing that is part of that law is that no hydrokinetic lease can be given unless the person first acquires FERC licenses, which are necessary in navigable waters. So it follows the federal rules in giving licenses. In other words, you can't get a lease unless you have a license. And also gives credence to the authority of port authorities and those kinds. And again, we are in consult with DOTD working on rules and regulations.
I have a question.
Yeah. Just by the way, this is another bill that Senator Nick Gautreaux and Representative Arnold carried for us.
Is that 183 that you're talking about there at the bottom?
183. It's Senate Bill 183 and House Bill 841 combined. They both do the same thing, except one of them defines what alternative energy is, and it defines it as such things as wind energy, hydrokinetic. It excludes biomass, growing biomass, or facilities that use biomass as a fuel. because those are the land office.
Mr. Sanders, you have to read both these in conjunction with one another.
I've got a little something turning over here.
Okay.
You've got a note here. This will result in the kinetic hydrokinetic energy having to get the federal license.
Right.
Will result in doing away with competitive bidding. Is that, in other words, whoever gets that license gets the deal?
Correct.
And that's federal regulations?
No, that's the federal regulation, the license. In other words, even if we gave a lease mm-hmm. to do it, and that person did not have a federal FERC license,
I understand that.
They could not do it.
Well, I still don't answer respectfully.
No,
I didn't answer the question for me. In other words, this note says SB 183 mm-hmm. requires that a lease for hydrokinetic energy must be consistent with the terms of the preliminary permit, license, exemption, or other authorization issued by FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory.
That's correct.
Quote, this will result in doing away with the competitive bidding of a hydrokinetic lease. That means there won't be any competitive bidding for those leases?
If a person acquires a FERC license first, that is correct. It will
do
away.
Don't have to require it first?
Yes. Well, it's not to say that you can't competitively bid, but you can't get a lease without, you know, you're right. It, effectively, it's going to take away competitive bids. If you acquire a FERC license first, then nobody else can get a lease.
So the federal government has preempted us in this instance, this board and this state, in granting on a competitive lease basis kinetic energy releases because they've got to go get the federal regulation or the federal license first. I want to be sure I understand it.
Right. If you say the federal government preempted us, the legislator preempted it because the legislature made it a requirement that you have the FERC license.
This
first.
Is the state legislature made.
Yes.
Louisiana.
Yes.
Mr. Sanders, essentially, it doesn't take away the ability of this mineral board to ensure that it is getting fair compensation for the lease of that water bottom. A competitive bid process would not be the appropriate process to follow to ensure that fair compensation is being received by the state for that.
I don't have any further questions. I just want to be sure I understand the legislation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number three was Senate Bill 724, is now Act 971. And this is regarding 16 sections. The law as it stands right now states that when there was land in a 16th section in 1812, which has eroded due to actions of various water bodies and is now a state-owned water bottom, the state has the land or owns the land in its public trust, but any money derived from land, such as mineral leasing, that eroded land goes to the school board. What this law did is it said that if there was a 16th section, which is now water bottom, for which, oh, by the way, in 1812, or when the state acquired 16th section lands, if there wasn't a full 640 acres of land in that 16th section, say there was a navigable water bottom already present, the 16th section was given what's called indemnity lands somewhere else in the state of Louisiana to compensate for the lack of that land in there. Now, they weren't always given the total amount up to 640. They were given land as close as they could. What the new law states is that if there is a 16th section, which is all water bottoms now, for which no indemnity lands were given, then the money derived from any leases on that water bottom will now go to the school board. So it's allowing the school board to get the benefit where they did not get any indemnity lands. Okay. And what we're doing right there is we have one, Macy Dennis in our office is looking at all of the 16th section lands in conjunction with the land office to see if this applies, which 16th sections this applies to. And we'll have a list of that in case there are any questions. Item number four was House Bill 745, is now Act 598. What this did is it changed the boundary of East Baton Rouge Parish School Board and the Central Community School Board. And it gives the state approval to a transfer of a 16th section that was formerly East Baton Rouge Parish School Board, known as the Indian Mound Tract. And it gives that tract, that 16th section, to the Central Community School Board. Now, there are, as far as we know, and we're checking on it, there are no leases, state leases, or any leases that we know of on that 16th section, but it just gives that 16th section to the new school board district, which is Central Community School, because of the boundary. And it gives state approval to the transfer of that 16th section, which is required by law. And it's approximately 5.1. It also approves the sale, excluding the mineral rights, by the Vermilion Parish School Board of a 5.106 acre tract in Section 16, Township 11 South, Range 3 East. So it's approving a transfer of land to a private ownership, but maintaining the mineral rights for that Vermilion Parish tract. Okay, item number five is House Bill 1307, which is now Act 850.
Y'all may have an idea how this one works.
This changed the public meeting law and requiring the comment period before you vote. So y'all have been using it this whole board meeting, so you are familiar with what the law now requires. There's a public comment portion before any vote at a public meeting.
Except the school boards.
I was about to mention that. Except school boards. They can do secretive things. Okay. The last one is House Bill 1486, which is now Act 955, and this is a fairly new, well, it is a brand new and comprehensive law. What it does is it authorizes a person or entity to enter into a cooperative endeavor agreement with the agency or subdivision of the state or the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources to withdraw running surface water from running water resources of the state. For instance, if a company wanted to withdraw water for fracking processes up in the Haynesville Shale, they can enter a cooperative endeavor agreement to withdraw water from a surface such as the Red River or Lake Bistineau or those kinds of things. This law, by specific language in it, does not impinge on the rights of riparian landowners to withdraw running water protected under Civil Code Articles 657 and 658. I don't know if you know, but riparian owners on a water body have the right to withdraw water from those running water, surface water. The agreement must be in writing. It must be for fair market value. It must be in the public interest. And it must be on a uniform form that is approved and prescribed by the Mineral and Energy Board. We now are drafting a form cooperative endeavor agreement. We're putting the finishing touches on it, which will be presented to the board at a future board meeting for their approval. This is the form that would be used. Also, what it does is there are other agencies such as the Red River Commission, Sabine River or Sabine Water Commission that have the authority to enter into these cooperative endeavor agreements. Some have the authority total to charge for it as well as to give the agreement without any approval by the state. The rest we're checking on, but if they do if they don't have that full authority, then the agreements that those entities use to enter into a cooperative endeavor agreement must be on a form that's approved by the Mineral Board. What happens is the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources evaluates the agreements to ensure that the water usage is based on best management practices and social science and considers the sustainability and navigability of the water resources together with all other uses of that water body, such as commercial, agriculture, and public. So what the Secretary is tasked with doing is before authorizing and signing these cooperative endeavor agreements, he takes into consideration whether or not the amount of water that's to be withdrawn under these agreements will have any effect on the sustainability of the water body itself and will it have an adverse effect on other uses of that water body that are in play at the present time, such as public use, commercial, agriculture, those kinds of things. And the agreement is limited to a two-year primary term, and the effect cannot go beyond December 31st of 2012. Now, you can have consecutive two-year term agreements, or it can be reinstated every 2 years. It just cannot go beyond December 31st of 2012 when the law itself sunsets. Now, these agreements, these cooperative endeavor agreements, are voluntary. They're not mandatory. They are voluntary on the part of those who want to withdraw water from a public water body. And again, the staff is preparing not only a cooperative endeavor agreement, but the application form that is to be used to apply for these cooperative endeavor agreements. And they will be presented to the board for their approval at a future time.
We will be providing drafts to the board for their consideration, comments, and we have a draft that is close to being in a form to be able to be submitted out to the board members for comments.
I would be particularly interested in those drafts as we're so close to the Haynesville Shell and we're so close to a lot of farmland in the northern part of our parish that uses those water, Red River, and those bayous and all for irrigation. So,
Absolutely. In fact, thus far, most of the requests for withdrawal of surface waters are coming from that area.
Absolutely.
Rick, so the board, our only deal is the form. That's our only role in this, develop the form.
Right. Yes. Our role is to approve the form. It's the secretary that has the authority to enter into them and to do all the necessary studies prior to it. Okay. Item number 7 is House Concurrent Resolution 36, which tasks the state land office in consultation with DNR, but the onus is on the state land office to provide a report on the total amount of acres in which the state owns mineral rights, the acres subject to a mineral lease at the present time, the total acres on which the state owns mineral rights where the acreage was tax adjudicated to the state and subsequently transferred to private ownership. Because as you know, after 1921, property was adjudicated to the state. If the property is not redeemed and the property is transferred out of the state to a private individual, comes and buys it, it's patented out, the mineral rights do not transfer. So that they're asking for the number of acreage where the surface rights have been transferred out, but the state maintains the mineral rights. And this report is due to submitted by the land office to the legislature on or before January 1st of 2012. So the onus is on the land office, and the DNR is to consult. And those are the bills that we were following in particular. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
And for way of information, members, there is a tracker in your package that provides each bill the task and the Office of Mineral Resource employee primarily responsible to move those along. And there are some of these bills that have specific tasks for the State Mineral and Energy Board, and we will be providing draft documents to you, such as the rules to implement acts, Senate Bill 183 and House Bill 841, and also the bill we just went over, which was HB 1486.
Mr. Heck and others, next time we have a meeting of the legislature and these bills are making their way through the hopper and through the process, I would like to receive a report occasionally on what we're tracking. I don't know that I was aware. Maybe it occurred in my absence, but I wasn't aware that until I see this today.
Right. I think the staff reported at various board meetings. The staff reported on the legislation that we were tracking, and
We'd made presentations of the bills that we were number one that impacted the Mineral Energy Board and the department, and the ones that were specifically departmental bills.
Is that in May and June?
Thank you.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
And what we'll do in the future is, for future legislative sessions, when you're absent or when anybody's absent, we'll make sure that those people are brought up to speed on them.
Thank you.
That's it.
All right. Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Heck. Appreciate it. Are there any announcements?
Morning.
Mary Beth, well, let me go ahead. Don't we have the oil and gas seminar coming up next month, August 21st?
We have the oil and gas seminar on August 23rd and 24th. Early bird registration ends June 30th, so if you haven't registered and you want to take advantage of early bird registration, please do so on or before June 30th. And you can get additional information for registration off of the DNR website. Ms. Smith? Yes, ma'am. It's going to be in New Orleans at the Roosevelt Hotel.
The new Roosevelt.
It's going to be nice. And you should have, if you have not received already, you should receive a invitation from me. Have y'all received
No.
those? Okay. If you haven't, you'll be receiving those very shortly. Okay. For, let's see, total cash payments for July 14th, 2010 were $4,596,455.32. That brings the year-to-date cash payments for fiscal year 10 and 11 to $4,596,455.32. The exact same as the... since it's the first month of this fiscal year.
Wow.
One other announcement real quick. During one of the committee hearings, there was a discussion about policy book. We have asked the general counsel for the mineral board, Mr. Ike Jackson. He is in the couple of weeks ago, we had asked him to start updating that policy book, and we will provide that to you all. And please go through it, review it, and if you have any other items that you would like to bring up or for reconsideration at board meetings, please let us know, and we can make sure that those appear on the agenda. Thank you very much. Mr. Harper?
I just want to mention for any new board members that travel to the oil and gas seminar and registration would be an allowable expense as a board member.
Okay, great.
It's 3 miles travel.
depends on your route, maybe.
44 cents a mile.
Right.
We'll take a circular route.
You could go all the way around to the 310. It's safer that way. Any further announcements? If not, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn by Ms. Smith, a second by Mr. Ingram. All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you next month. And please try and attend our oil and gas seminar next month.